So Lord, I pray you would speak powerfully through each one of them, and that you would get the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys excited about the Super Bowl today? Is there any Chiefs fans in the room? This is the quietest Sunday ever. Is there any Chiefs fans in the room? Is there any 49ers fans in the room? Does Colorado even have a football team? Jay? No? Oh. Sorry. Go Cowboys. Thank you. Good morning. I'm super excited. If you don't know what the Super Bowl is, they do a Jay Leno concert. Not Jay Leno. J-Lo. That would be cool. They do a J-Lo concert, and they just have some guys running around in pads, like, touching each other and pushing each other over and crying and stuff like that. So it's going to be a good Sunday. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I am going for the 49ers today. God's team, I've been told by the Godfreys. So we are going to do something a little bit different. I don't think we've ever done this, what we're about to do today. And I will invite the guys up in a second, but I didn't want to do it quite yet because they distract me because they're dear to me. So I'll try and intro it, then we'll invite them up. We are going to give each of our LTS Year 2 students 5 minutes, including my beautiful wife, Rebecca, and we are asking them to preach for 5 minutes each, and there will even be a timer on the screen so everyone can see it, okay? The reason I'm saying this, we don't want the timer to be a distraction. I don't want it to be like zero and be like, eh. But we are trying to honor our time, but also trying to give them a platform to speak. Unfortunately, one of our year two students, Sarah, who's our middle school youth pastor today, couldn't be here. She's at her funeral, unfortunately, today in Denver. So Rebecca is actually going to be doing it as well. So we'll have 3 out of 4 of our year two students and Rebecca. And we just came back. I guess we didn't. It's February now, right? Man, January felt like a year. Did anyone feel like that? January was like the whole of 2020. It was the whole of 2020. Anyway, in the beginning of January, we went to Cuba with a couple other pastors from the Denver area, and we went there for a week, what we called a cohort. It wasn't a missions trip. It was a theology and missionology training trip. So we spent a lot of time in the classroom, a lot of time learning about history, a lot of time learning about culture, and learning about how Jesus works with history and culture, and it was beautiful. We did a couple of fun things, like we did what we would call a youth rally, where they told us anywhere between 5 and 100 kids will turn up, and a school bus. I don't know if you've seen Cars 3, but the school bus, like Miss Fritter, if you know what I mean. That school bus, no jokes, it was kind of scary, remember? That kind of turned up, and 70 to 80 youth kids between the ages of 8 and 35, which made me feel wonderful, turned up, and we bought 100 pizzas, and in typical Roots style, we threw like a youth rally for. We spoke at a bunch of churches on Sunday, and we did some other little things with other little Foursquare ministries there. Cuba is a very interesting country. It is a communist country, and I'm going to watch what I say, but it's a beautiful country with beautiful, 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 beautiful people. And where the Foursquare Church, which our denomination is, has a lot of freedom and a lot of grace from the state to do what they need to do. We hung out with a lot of their Foursquare pastors, and they're beautiful, wonderful people. And if you ever have a chance to go to Cuba, not Cuba, New Mexico, I'm sure that's brilliant too, but Havana, Cuba. Havana, I told some of our high schoolers I was going to Cuba for a week, and they were like, really? I was like, Havana, Cuba. And they're like, oh, vacation? No. But it is a beautiful nation, and people who love Jesus. And we just had a wonderful time, and I'm excited for you guys to hear some of the stories. We don't really want this to be like a report back. We want this to be pointed at Jesus. He's the reason why we do everything. But also, we have to learn things as humans, right? And sometimes when we're investing in these people behind us, we want to see what we've invested into them, and we want to see what Jesus is doing in and through them. Amen? So would you want to welcome Year 2 students and Rebecca come to the stage? Yeah. I don't know if you guys are just quiet because it's Super Bowl and you're trying to, like, save your energy for it, but we might need to make some noise. I feel like a youth group, and I have to, like, ask you guys, should we just do, like, the youth group 4-minute timer and see if these guys can get rowdy? But no. So this is them. We are going to put 5 minutes on the clock. We're going to hear them preach. You can say amen. You can agree. I'm really excited. And I'll wrap it up at the end, and Jill will probably come at the end and fix everything that I have said, and it will be wonderful. We can go home before 11. We can eat chicken wings or cauliflower wings, if that's what you prefer, and we can watch the 49ers destroy the Chiefs. And Jerry owes me a little bit of money, so it's going to be good. Who's going first? Rachel, would you guys put your hands together for our wonderful Rachel?
Okay, hi, I'm Rachel. I'm just going to jump right into it. I don't know, I don't see the thing on the... I don't know. I'm just going to go. I was super excited to be in Cuba. I don't know if it was just because it was like 80 degrees and sunny and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, but like Andy said, we were there just to learn and to learn about missions and why we do it, and to learn about Cuban culture, which, as Andy already said, was beautiful. So one day we were in class at a Foursquare church there, and we decided to take like a 15-minute break, so we decided to walk over to the ocean, as you do, because it's only a block away. And so we walk over down through the streets to the ocean, and so there's like a wide, like 5 or 6 lane street, and then a cement wall where the ocean like crashes up against there, and then there's a line of buildings that goes around, and you can see the coast, you can see the coastline, and there's like an old fort over here, and it was just a really beautiful place. And then we turned around, and like the buildings over here, one of them caught our attention. Someone had like rolled up a bunch of like pieces of paper and stuck it on the building, and it was just really beautiful. So we were checking it out, and I walk around the corner, and there's a painting. Someone has painted like graffiti art. And Bailey, if you want to throw the picture of it up on the screen. I think this is going to mess up my time a little bit, but I'm okay with that. So I'll just tell you what the picture looked like while Bailey looks for it. it was a graffiti. There it is. It's kind of dark, but it's a painting of a man, and he's sitting kind of hunched over. He has a mask on, and he's looking down at the ground, and he looks discouraged. You can't really see in the picture, but one of his eyes actually has a tear coming out of the mask. And up there next to his head is written 2 + 2 = 5 with a question mark. And this, it like evoked so much emotion to me, because I was like, why did the artist feel the need to express this? And after I saw it, it was like part of the Cuban culture was like, I understood something more about it that I didn't before. It was an expression of what was going on in the atmosphere around them. And we got internet, which was kind of sketchy, but I looked it up, and it's the 2 + 2 = 5 is a reference to a novel by George Orwell titled The 1984. I haven't read the book, but from what I was reading online, if you're not familiar with it like I wasn't, there's a party that promotes 2 + 2 = 5 as a fact. And the protagonist in the story questions, if everyone believes it, does that mean it's really true? As you can imagine, in a communist country, this was something that meant a lot to them. And actually, as we were driving around the city, it became kind of like a game to me to see where it was, because it was written all over the walls of the city. Every time we were around a corner, there was like 2 + 2 = 5, there it is again, there it is again. And it meant something to them. And it was a sense of hope for the atmosphere that was there. And people say a lot of things about the atmosphere of Durango. And if there's one thing I learned from Cuba, it's that not only do our expressions have the power to change the atmosphere, but our expressions do change the atmosphere whether we know it or not. Our expressions, the things we say, how we dress, the things we speak to people and over people, the echoes of our actions are eternal. What are we painting on the walls of Durango? What are we spray painting that we see as we walk around? Because our life is an active expression for others to see a painting for others to see. It's a painting on the wall, and it's a testimony about who God is. Ephesians 6:12 says, says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus himself, he says to his disciples, I have given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. Because of what Christ did, we can stand here and we can tell the darkness to flee because we are the light. We have the power to change the atmosphere. And I want to end with this. In Matthew chapter 5, I really like the way the Message puts it. Jesus says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. What are you writing on the walls, and how are you changing the atmosphere? Thank you.
Amen. Sometimes all you need is 5 minutes. Well, I was like, should I do stand-up now, or what should I do? I'd like to introduce the next person. This person is very near and dear to my heart. I was actually his legal father for 6 months, believe it or not. This is not John. But this person has been in this church longer than most of us, and I just want to say I believe in him, and he's wonderful, and we love seeing where God's taken. So would you welcome Drew?
Good morning, church. How are you guys doing? My name is Andrew, as Andy said, and if you don't know me, I'm one of the LTS. That's why I'm up here. I'm one of the year twos, and I'm just super excited to share with you guys a little bit about Cuba. And while we were there, as they've said, we had a lot of class time, and that was one of the coolest things, just being immersed in the Cuban culture and getting to learn more about them, but also learning more about God and learning about how the Cubans view God. It was just something that was really touching, and it opened my eyes and kind of changed my worldview a bit, because you get to see these people that are living in a communist country that are still experiencing God and see him from a whole new level than we do. And while we were there, one of the things that we learned about in one of the class times was this word avodah. This word avodah is Hebrew, and it translates to work. So we get our worldview of work from the Greek. And they've kind of convinced us that work is bad and you don't really want to do work. That's not really what we're looking forward to. We try and have these three-day weekends. We try and spread time to go out and have fun. And you just want to work as little as possible, right? It's kind of something that we despise a little bit, or that we get exhausted from, because we're looking at work from a standpoint that's wrong. We're looking at it from how the Greek have told us. But what I'd like to propose to you this morning is that work was originally intended to be good before the fall. God told Adam in Genesis 2, verse 10, that he was going to work in the garden, not as a punishment, but it would be something that he would enjoy doing, that he would find joy in, and he would find life through it. That he was going to tend to it, he was going to take care of it, and he was going to be working. And you might ask, why was he going to enjoy working? And it's because this word avodah also means worship. Avodah, work and worship together. It's the same thing. And when you think of it like this, when you think of work as worship, it changes how you view your day. It changes how you wake up on Monday getting ready to go to work if you think of it as worshiping God. It should change how we view our coworkers and how we view just our day-to-day lives. And working through worship doesn't mean that you're working with worship music on and you're singing in your cubicle or you're singing on the construction site. I mean, you should do that. That'd be awesome. But that's not necessarily what it is, but it's an attitude of glorifying God, and it's this attitude of trying to grow closer to him in the workplace, in the day-to-day. And I'd like to propose that if you were worshiping through your work, your life would change for the better, because you won't wake up saying, it's just another Monday, this is just what I do. But you'll wake up filled with joy because you get to do life with God. You get to do your everyday work with God. You get to do ministry in the end is what it is. And you might say, I work at Walmart. I don't do ministry. I scan people's stuff. I restock shelves. This is not ministry. But in reality, when you're worshiping God, that's ministry, because people see you and they see how you're acting and they see that that's countercultural, that it's completely different from how most people would act because you're worshiping God, you're being with him. So I'd like to say that the goal isn't to be done with work, but it's to do it with God through worship to change others.
Amen. Spreadsheets of worship. Make a t-shirt. Hey, this next person, if I'm really honest, I have not seen someone grow so much over the course of the last couple of years as this person. This person is very, very, very dear to my heart. This is someone who does not like being on the stage, therefore I would like him to be on stage more. And he does not like it, me even saying anything about him right now, but this is someone who serves and serves and gives and loves and makes me very emotional because he is so behind everything that we do in this church. Would you welcome John Coleman?
Yeah, that's pretty fun. I also don't really like mics, so yeah. Because I'm not good at this, and I don't like being up here, I'm just gonna read my paper. Hopefully it works. Oh gosh, they hate me right now. One of the days when we were in Cuba, we helped to lead a youth rally for the youth group in the local Foursquare church. Youth is kind of an interesting word because we had little babies, they were like a year and a half, and we also had 35-year-olds there, so it's a wide group. At this rally, a guy came up and started talking to me. Unfortunately for him, I don't speak Spanish. Thankfully, one of our translators was nearby, and we were able to talk through her. The first thing he told me is that the Cubans are really, really animated people. I am not. And that's why he was talking to me, because, you know, like, if music's playing and I'm just, you know, drumming my fingers to the music, I'm into it. Like, yeah, it's a good time. After the initial icebreaker, whatever, small talk, I don't know what you want to call it, but we both kind of seemed like we didn't know what we were doing there, so we continued talking, things like, where are you from? You know, the States, Colorado, he's from Havana, and just, like, what do you like to do? And I like to go hiking. So I showed him a picture on my phone. If that can go up, that would be great. If not, one of my favorite hikes I've ever been on. And he was just blown away by it. Like, he made like, oh, I'm crying. And like, just how much it impressed him was crazy. And it made me realize that I take this area for granted. I don't know if anybody else does, but I definitely do. After all this, like, he's still looking at the picture, and he posed a question that kicked me in the pants. Are you telling people where you live about Jesus? I was unprepared for this. Probably a bad sign, and I should work on that. In my pride, I said that I help with youth group here, but the honest answer, and I didn't tell him this, is no, I don't. And that I definitely need to work on. Apparently, this moment was really important for me because it's very easy to remember. And what he said next is definitely going to stick around for a long time. He said, even if a word is short, if it's said with love and comes from God, it reaches the heart of who it's intended for and they flourish. Focus on God and the message he sends, and everything else will get sorted. One of the days while we were in class, we got to talking about how people are created and called for a purpose and like designed for that. This one I don't remember quite as well, so I don't remember exactly what we said, and I haven't fully explored this idea, but looking at how, like, tracing that thought through the Bible is fun, because Jonah was created and called for a very specific purpose. I mean, he kind of tried to hide from it, but it didn't work. But in the end, he did wind up going to Nineveh and telling them about God. And that was, he brought the message that God wanted them and that he wants connection with them. And it's interesting because God cared so much about Nineveh that, like, the last word in the book of Jonah is cattle, because he says, and I don't have the verse, cool. Anyways, he says that there's more than 120,000 persons in the city, and also many cattle. And it just, it's such a little detail that God cares so much for us. And cool, I definitely made my time. Cool. My initial run was 2 minutes and 16 seconds. So this is much better. In order to wrap this up, and definitely under the time limit, I want to spread the challenge to you. Sort of like a virus, I don't know, the coronavirus, whatever. What are you going to do with what you know about Jesus?
Oh, I love you, John, so much. Hey, so last but definitely not least, the most beautiful lady in the entire world. For those who don't know, this is my wife. I heard this quote, behind every man there's a lady rolling her eyes. The original quote was, behind every great man there's a lady, but I just changed it to man. I think that's better. This is my wife. She is one that I wish that more of you could get to know. She's unbelievable. She loves people, and her goal in life is to disciple as many people closer to Jesus as possible. And we do it together, and she definitely takes the lead on the LTS like this. I'm just the fool with the microphone, and she's the wind behind the sails. Is that the way to say it? It's so nervous having you on stage, babe. I'm gonna stand over here. But what I do want to say this is, this woman is as elegant as she is looking as she is in her work with discipleship. She cares so deeply about Jesus, and she wants you just to realize that you have a purpose and you're designed for more. She's also unbelievably creative, and I'll tell a quick story just to boast about her. One time we were just sitting down, and she was, we were looking at something on TV, and I just said, have you ever embroidered before? She was like, no. And the next day I came in and she embroidered all of, well, it took her a couple of weeks, but she embroidered all of the fruits of the Spirit on different little things. And she's like, yeah, I just kind of figured it out. And I'm like, but there's something in that which has a very strong gift about figuring out. Anyway, would you welcome to the beautiful, beautiful woman, Rebecca.
I'm starting to feel like John. Golly. I just want to say what a privilege it is to lead not just the year twos, but the year ones as well. Oh my gosh. And it was really, really great to be a student alongside them in Cuba. So one of our teaching times in Cuba was on cities, and this has grabbed my heart and it has not let go. So I'm excited to see what God plants in your hearts from this today. So cities. In the year 1900, 1 in 20 people lived in a city. It's predicted that in the year 2100, that 19 in 20 people will live in a city. We get to see a glimpse of God's heart for cities in the story of Jonah, as John gave a little recap, I guess, of before. It was something we talked about in class. So, as we know, Jonah was a prophet assigned by God to preach to the city of Nineveh. He fled in the legit opposite direction. Jonah, in his infinite wisdom, thought the people of Nineveh deserved damnation rather than the redemption of God that he was entrusted to teach them about. And there's a whole other talk just sitting there about how in our hearts we can actually hope for the destruction of people who are screw-ups or people who are different than us or come from other countries or religions rather than aching and putting effort toward their redemption. But I've only got 5 minutes. So back to Jonah. We all know the story. Jonah was fleeing and God interfered miraculously and set Jonah back on the right path to Nineveh. Jonah was still grumpy and whiny about being called there. And I imagine that he gave the shortest, most lackluster sermon that he could pull out of his back pocket. But then, to Jonah's chagrin, the people listened. Revival broke out. Jonah throws a tantrum because God now won't destroy the city. He leaves and sits on a hill to watch what will happen. God gives him a plant that grows to protect him from the sun. Then the plant gets eaten by a worm. Our dear, lovely Jonah throws yet another tantrum. And then God puts Jonah in his place. God says, "Why are you making such a fuss about a plant that you didn't do anything for? You didn't water it, Jonah. You didn't nurture it, Jonah. Heck, Jonah, you didn't even plant it. This city of Nineveh has over 120,000 people who didn't know evil from good. I have loved them. I've watched over them. I have invested in them. How could I not spare them from destruction when their repentance can bring relationship with me? And that's all I've ever wanted." I always thought the book of Jonah was about Jonah, but it's actually an incredible story about how we can see how much God loves people. And cows, apparently. Cities equal lots of people. And our God loves people. This does not mean that God loves cities more than rural locations. But it does mean that cities have a special and critically strategic place in the kingdom of God. In the book of Jeremiah, we find Israel in exile in Babylon. Lots of other prophets were saying, "God will rescue us. Just hold on a little longer. Don't give up hope. Focus on home. You'll be back soon." Then the exiles received a letter from Jeremiah. It said, and Bailey, if you have the Jeremiah verse, you can put it up now. "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters. And multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare." What a huge perspective shift. God was urging them to love where they were, to invest, to think about going the long haul. He wanted them to change the atmosphere. I don't know if some of you think of Durango as exile. Some of you might be feeling stuck and frustrated. Like right now. But what I want to leave with you today is a burden and a sense of urgency to love your city. Are we planting gardens? Physical, figurative, and spiritual. Are we staying engaged long enough to see the fruit? Are we seeing beyond just our story? Do we love this city, or do we just love this church? In Proverbs 11:10, it says, "The blessing that rests on the righteous releases strength and favor on the entire city." What are we holding back from Durango because we think they don't care? Or frankly, because we've decided in our hearts, like Jonah, like they don't deserve it? We cannot settle to be a church full of Jonahs. So, can I ask you to ask God with me today? Lord, how can we see your kingdom come in Durango as it is in heaven a little bit more?
Would you thank all these guys?
You guys can leave.
Thank you guys so much. Amen. 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 We start. started off in Cuba, and this is one of the first things that was said in our classroom. It said, and it was beautiful. We had a guy called Jonathan there who's been in Foursquare, Brazil for a long time, and just one of these people that when you get, you know, when you meet these people and they just agree with everything you say, even though you know you're wrong and they know you're wrong, it's just wonderful people. You're like, you should just be my best friend all the time. And he's like, okay, yeah, just text me. He started the class like this. He said, God started us in a garden, and we're going to end up in a city one day. And it's all about growth. And I was like, oh, that's a good way to start a class. And if we believe what the Bible says, we will end up in a new place, in a new city. But we started off in a garden, and God loves the process, the planting, the journey, the reaping, the sowing, right? He loves the whole thing. One of the quotes that kind of floored all of us on this trip was, we don't do missions because we're in a church. We do church because there is a mission. And that mission is Jesus loves you, which therefore it's an action. I'll say it again. We don't do missions because we're in a church. We do church because there is a mission. And that mission is Jesus loves you, therefore it's an action. That's the reason why we gather. We gathered here because someone planted this church, because they came from another church that was planted all the way back to 2,000 years ago, because Jesus says, I love you, and on that premise, I will build my church. That's why we gather, right? And that's why we want to tell other people about Jesus, including ourselves. I want to say this to kind of end up, and worship team, if you want to come up, is this. I'm huge on the aspect, and we're even doing this at Winter Retreat with the high schoolers. I'm huge on the aspect of worldview. I'm fascinated how you guys see the world, and every single one of us will see the world slightly different through our own lens, through our own filters, through our own hurts, through our own insecurities. But the more you meet people, the more your worldview will open. And I have this phrase that's been in my head for most 2009 called check your circle. Like, see who's in your group. Who's in your group? Are they positive? Are they negative? Are they bringing you down? Are they bringing you up? But the word I kind of want to bring in my head is maybe it's time to expand our circle and actually not just hang out with people who think like us, who vote like us, who watch the same shows, but actually hang out with people who challenge us, who can encourage us, who can see it from a different perspective. And when you travel the world and when you go to beautiful places like Cuba, New Mexico, or Havana, Cuba, you will see the world from a different lens. And if we don't see it from a different lens, you are ultimately missing a point of who Jesus is. We worship. Do you know that we still worship a Jewish man, fully human? And we need to see the world from his perspective. He sees it from a completely different perspective than we do. And the more you hang out with his creation, the more you get to see, oh, my faith is not just my own. There's a bit of Jesus that you understand that I really want to understand from you. So when we stand, and Jesus, we just want to come before you now and say, we love you. We love these year twos. We thank you so much for Becca and all the guys in the LTS. And we just ask that you pour your favor upon them. Jesus, would you open our eyes to see the world from a different point of view today? That when we're going about our way and when we're hanging out with people and when we're watching the Super Bowl, that there'll be something in today that we'll get to have a glimpse of who you are, Jesus, just maybe from a different angle. That the word about art, that the word about cities, that the word about perspective, the word about work and worship, there's something in that we can change the way that we view things. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.